T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
And thanks to David for taking, acknowledging that he has been assigned Danny Dimes, and that's his guy. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
You have
never
no choice.
Okay. Okay, he's my guy. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. I want to thank our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
I was terrible today.
Oh, he was good. And, of course, Kevin Zipak. Bless you, Kevin.
Can I ask you about the Cy Young race, or should I not ask that today, like last time?
I mean, that, not walking so far, so please stop asking me.
And Ray, God love you, Ray. You do the work of 10 men, and we appreciate it.
Today, you know, I didn't have anything.
And now we are...
Please stop asking
me. Yeah,
we'll
stop asking. We're lucky enough to get a chance now to talk to Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Guys, good morning, and hope everyone is well.
Hi, Dan and Layla.
Hey,
good
there's
morning.
So much going on. I mean, we've got news popping as we're having our morning meetings, and the Big Ten is announcing that they're calling their free labor back to work because it's time to cash those TV checks out.
Well, you know, it's a bottom line decision because we need to hear what they have to say, because as Molly and I talked about, Dan and Layla, I think I want to know what's changed. I want to know what science are looking at. I know the rapid testing may factor in and play a role in this, but I still need to know more about why they're willing to assume the risks now that they weren't willing to assume a month ago.
Well, I have their actual press release in front of me, David, and there is a lot of medical technical gobbledygook that it appears they're throwing at us to make it appear as if they're completely on top of this. This is how it comes across to me. And if anything, the Big Ten's public relations and their rollouts in under this administration have been largely a clown show. And I think this is a lot of big words and a lot of numbers and green and orange and red positivity rate to make it appear as if they have this entirely under control, when my guess is it's just going to be a different kind of chaos when the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, I, you know, the laws of science, right? I always think of Robert Kraft when I think of the changing attitudes toward the laws of science. Can't help it.
I think the biggest thing that concerns me is, and I appreciate the jokes too, but yeah, you guys hit the nail on the head. It's just the science didn't change, the reactions did. And that's really what has happened here. And you mentioned LSU. I heard that earlier. I don't know about you, but that was a headline that was difficult to read when Ed Ogeron says most of the team has had it or has it. That's jarring, especially given all the work we've done to try to make sure that doesn't happen.
It is beyond that, though. It's become so perverted that now it's considered a competitive advantage. They're saying, well, right, our guys have had it, so we can get over it. And sure, their hearts and lungs and everything may be swollen, and we've absolutely no idea what this virus does to people down the road. But people have decided now essentially to not care because football.
Given Texas the facts, evidence, and laws of science.
Thank you for the Robert Kraft payoff. 75 players at Texas Tech have tested positive for COVID since they started testing in June. these are two examples, LSU and Texas Tech. They're not the only examples. When you talk about the long-term potential implications that you're – I just think, yeah, I need to hear more. And the gobbledygook, as you referred to it, Dan, in the press release, was probably gobbledygook they could have compiled a month ago. I don't know what's changed. It is incumbent upon them to clearly and strongly explain what is different and why they're more compelled now to take those risks, because they are risks that are real. They just are.
And the people that I think about, I think about the residents of the communities.
Sorry,
you know, the people that live in – if you live in Champaign, if you live in Evanston, if you live in Columbus, and maybe you don't care a whit about college football at all, you're just a resident of a densely populated community somewhere where now your exposure, whether you like it or not, because of football, your exposure of people traveling in from hotspots, young people who may be asymptomatic and carrying and sharing – are in and around your community because of a football television deal in large part. And when you're talking about the market, you're talking about Rutgers and you're talking about some of these other areas, you know, I just wonder how people feel who aren't invested at all in the outcome of a football game, knowing what is being decided on behalf of these communities.
When I heard the Ed Orgeron thing, I thought of Boomer Esiason. Do you remember what he said about He wouldn't be surprised if some of these coaches were purposely getting guys to get the virus. Like, they were thinking of herd immunity. That went through my head when Ed Orgeron, he was almost proud of it. Hey, all our guys, we're going to be clear. That was almost the attitude.
Well, it indicated how cavalierly he approached it, Mully, when he did not have specific numbers to back up what he was saying. Because if you are taking it as seriously as everybody needs to take it, you know exactly how many players have been tested positive. And you know it's more than just a bunch of guys. A lot of our players, you don't use the terms a bunch and a lot and things like that. You know exactly, down to the backup third string kicker, if he tested positive or not.
Well, I will say this, though. Coaches in college, as we all know, enjoy a little bit more clouds when it comes to the clarity on injury reports. They always have. They use HIPAA to their advantage. I hate to say that because of the context, but coaches in college have the benefit of not having to be as clear because of how injuries are already discussed at the college level. So I see why they did that with that. They don't have to give specific numbers.
This isn't just an injury. This is a public health issue. This is more than just, well, you know what, Jimmy Bob has a sore hamstring, but we're not going to tell you about that because we don't want you to know which one. This is a public health issue that all these coaches, no matter how powerful they are in their little fiefdoms, they have to have a responsibility and feel that to express it and to share that information.
They do, but I also think they're working within the framework of what they know, which is essentially part of the problem. They know how to move past things and try to play football. So I think that's where the oversight would come in. But as far as how they're talking about it, I think that's the basis and the template of why they're being a little vague.
No, you're 100% right, but I think David's point is super well taken, that there has been this weird sort of false equivalency that's been applied here, in that there can't be a spate of hamstring pulls that somehow, through somebody who came in contact, they pull their hamstring, they go to a nursing home, and everybody in the nursing home ends up with a pulled hamstring. With this, like you say, David, this is an airborne, aerosolized pathogen that kills people with comorbidities and is still there and is expected, even in some cases, possibly to get worse as we start watching some of these trends. You know, people can't catch a torn ACL and pass that to somebody.
Right.
And we're still dealing with these things where there's either a lack of awareness on purpose, you know, just willful ignorance, or what's probably more true is that people don't care enough about the safety of others because football.
Yeah, listen, the whole thing is just wrong on so many levels, and if I'm Ed Orgeron, I'd be a little worried about myself. He doesn't look like the picture of good health, and he might be eating too much gumbo or something. I mean,
hey,
I love that guy. I love that voice.
Thank you.
but I would just be a little worried, right? I mean, some of these coaches, I get it. I've been around tons of football coaches. It's, you know, family, football, and faith. You know,
maybe
they have a whole idea of it.
Maybe. That is if you allow yourself to inform to the point where you worry about such things. But if you're only worried about what your depth chart looks like, and you're only worried about what you see on the videotape of your next opponent, and you only look at the world in 100-yard chunks at a time, then I don't know that you're worried about getting COVID and your own mortality, or what that means to the community you live in or go to when you're bringing 100 of your football players with you. I just don't think these coaches think in that context. Some do. Some not. I shouldn't paint with a broad brush, but I don't think enough do.
I think they also have to answer to a lot of different people. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm trying to figure out how you come to this conclusion after being really, really confident that you weren't coming to this conclusion. And to me, it just seems like there's a lot of opinions and not a lot of facts. And the results, unfortunately, occur in this manner where we might find out more facts by trial and error. It's just the error is so, so high. That's where it gets to be a real frustrating point. Like, I don't know how you don't think about Brady Feeney's story and say to yourself, do you really want to take that chance?
And that's why, David, to your point, I don't want to hear from coaches. I don't want to hear from athletic directors. I want to hear from the doctors who advised them. I don't want to hear about their interpretation of what they heard from. And some of these school presidents in the Big Ten are epidemiologists. I want to say Michigan's president is, in fact, an epidemiologist. Mm-hmm. I really would like to know the unvarnished presentation, not what they're cherry-picking and showing to us to support what they say is a safe enough return to cashing checks. I would really like to know what they were told, because, you know, doctors will say, here are your risks, here are your possibilities, here are your probabilities, and regardless, they have made a decision in some respect to endanger people, people within their control and people beyond their control. There's no question that this is something other than 100% safe. We just don't know. They're not going to tell us, is it 90-10? Is it 80-20? What calculus did they get when they finally said, well, money, you know, public health, but money, money's nice. We like money. And then at some point it just became okay enough.
They overstated their importance in the college sports community. They felt like, I believe, when they made a decision that other conferences would follow, and other conferences didn't. So they misread the room, and that's part of this too. So now they're backpedaling, and now we're a month later, and now they are in CYA mode. So we'll see how it goes, but I don't expect anything to be smooth. I expect probably a clunky presentation of facts that are very difficult to believe in.
Is it possible they just waited to see what would happen? And things are going smoothly, so they figure they can jump in. I mean,
look what's going on their campuses.
They're not well, so, Mully.
I'm talking about other college programs. I mean, they're seeing people on television, and they're saying, you know, it's almost like a high school saying, well, we're not going to have our kids come back. Well, let's see what happens with those other kids. Oh, it's working out okay. Maybe we'll try it. I just think it's
maybe
a kind of guinea pig situation. I don't think, Dan, that they're looking at what's going on their own campuses, because they're going to keep everybody separate, and they're going to try to keep social distance from the football team and everyone else. I bet coaches love it,
because it gives them even more control, and that's all they crave is control. I would like to know the difference between this current data, this current scientific presentation, and what was initially given the smaller schools, the smaller conferences, and the Ivy League in particular, where they looked at it like, yeah, no, we can't be doing this. This is wrong. And they haven't wavered, and there hasn't been any clamoring, because they're the Ivy League, and because there isn't money at stake, and because you don't have people using them as some sort of political pinata. I would love to know, how does the science used by the Ivy League diverge from what the major conferences are using to justify their continued play?
I can't wait to find out how the NFL looks at all this. In other words, if you are a cornerback at Ohio State and you decide you're not going to play, does the league value you more because they know you've got a clean bill of health, or do they say, well, this guy let his team down by not playing? I'm just very curious to see, because here's one of the things we don't know about the science. Let's say a player gets this and recovers from it. Do we know what the long-term effects are? Do we know if there is scarring on lungs and this affects the length of career? I'm just saying there's a lot of unknowns and very few knowns, and I'm very curious to see how the NFL handles this and what they ultimately think of it.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of that, Mully, because it's not just length of career. What if you draft a guy and he does have some undetectable heart issue or other organ issue, and maybe this stuff's all delayed? We don't know how long it takes or if you can recover from stuff or the damage to the heart muscle. What if that guy drops dead at a mini camp? You know, are you on the hook? Your lawyers may tell you don't draft that guy because we don't want the legal exposure.
Well, we're seeing that too. Von Miller always comes to mind here, and now he has an arthroscopic injury. But he also said his lungs weren't the same, and then people piled on saying, oh, well, he had asthma. Von Miller was Von Miller at 5280 feet, okay? Like, I don't want to hear about how a guy was living with a condition and was fine before, and then you're saying, oh, well, but he had this. If his condition didn't change prior to this, then what do you think affected things?
It's a great point. It really
is.
And
it's so different for these professionals who can collectively bargain, who are at least compensated for their risk. And that's why it made watching college football really, really lukewarm for me. I had a very difficult time connecting to it, knowing that they're just out there doing this for free and incurring all of the risk so many other people can make a lot of money. And it's just...
And pros, Dan, are in situations where their environments and their behavior can be controlled much easier than you can for college student athletes. There's
right.
No question about that.
And guys, you know, just look at the White Sox. You know, we've heard Yoan Moncada talk about how sluggish he feels, how the, you know, having COVID has affected his energy level, and he's not having he's not one of the MVP candidates that we thought he might be going into the year. Nomar Mazara, no one cares about that guy because he hasn't been here before, but he has had a subpar year. He's also been on the COVID list. I mean, I haven't heard him talk about it, but he was replaced in the lineup, maybe for good, who knows. I just wonder if these players have thought through that factor, whether they're going to be able to be the best player they want to be in order to gain the next level.
Well, Mazara also was concerned about strep throat, but the point is, we just don't know.
No.
And I worry because it paints a bigger picture and is just another example of football in general. Because how can we sit here having this conversation and not acknowledge that these decisions are being made every day about head injuries?
Yeah, there's already a level of not caring, right?
I mean, you can. I hate to say it, but
no,
that's
true.
It
I mean, that would be the sort of the ultimate cynicism here. Is yeah, I mean, already if you're smashing into each other and bashing your brains in, what's another level of not caring? Again, the difference is CTE isn't contagious. Concussions aren't contagious. That particular spate of injuries isn't going to kill grandma.
But that attitude of assuming the risk and not knowing all the answers is prevalent.
How are you going to handle this today and what have you?
Well, we got a lot to do. We have to sort out the Allen Robinson thing to start, because it is a thing. It's rising to the level of a national story right now when you've got a guy as good as he is playing the games that he's playing. We had to go to Urban Dictionary to try to translate some of the millennial slang to figure out what exactly is being alleged and said. I had to ask my son, what is no cap? What does this mean? I can't really explain it. Well, what good are you? Go back to school. Stare at your screen. Len Casper is going to join us at 9:40 to talk about the Cubs and that weird win last night. Mike Florio at 10. Some White Sox talk at 10:20. The Midday Midway at 10:40. Hub Arkish is ours for a segment. Then we'll take calls for a segment, and we'll keep up on all the news.
Have a good show.
Great stuff, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.